Welcome to Cinema Savants, your weekly dose of movie news, movie reviews, and the occasional rumor, with your hosts, Todd Vandenberg and Rob Steele.
And coming up in this week's show, Tom Hardy gets cut down. Constantine makes a pretty good impression, and it's the Incredibles 2 meh edition. We'll talk about that trailer. Joining us this week would have been Ted Hicks, but according to his email, he got tickets to some morning Bernie Mac concert. Not really sure how that happened because I thought he was dead. Anyway, Bernie, not Ted. But to start with, just to further complicate Ted's emotions, and we really can't put this off anymore. There's a movie that we've been talking about for months.
Yes.
And, you know, the slogan of the show is, we watch movies so you don't have to. And Todd really took one for the team this week.
I tried.
out on Netflix this week is a movie we've made fun of, like pretty much everyone else. But none of us have actually seen it because it was such a bad idea. But Todd, in his commitment to the show, tried to watch the Emoji Movie on Netflix. How did that go?
Now, let me start off by saying I did not fully take the shot, okay? Because when it started, I flinched. I ducked away. So I was grazed. I was grazed by the Emoji Movie. I got through 6 minutes and 50 seconds of it on my initial attempt. And I said, okay, no, I can't do it. This is too much. I came back to it. And I watched, I didn't track exactly, but I watched maybe another 7 or 8 minutes of it. So that's all I've gotten into the film.
That's all you needed to, I think.
Well, I will, honestly, I will attempt to finish it this week. So then next week I can legitimately say, okay, this is how it is. And maybe it gets better. No.
Funniest thing ever said on the show.
Yeah. You know, when I talked about the Boss Baby, I think a couple of weeks ago, because the previews, the trailers looked awful, and I watched it and I actually thought, hey, this is actually a pretty good film. I mean, this is, I don't see how it would be one of the best animated films of the year unless they were literally only three animated films, and there weren't, but I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was fun, and I think it's
Boss Baby he's referring to, not
Boss Baby. Yeah, the trailers are like play up the worst aspect of the movie. There's actually some creativity to the animation, actually has an interesting plot, actually has some legit feel-good moments, has a nice message. I think it's a really good kids movie. It's not great, but it's good. Again, that's Boss Baby. Please do not think that's the Emoji Movie. Maybe after the first 15 minutes or so, the Emoji Movie gets better. Kind of doubt it. It's there's just nothing there. It's just the most crass, lowest level humor possible. You know, an emoji for a semicolon falls down. Oh, I hurt my colon. That's the level of humor in the Emoji Movie. The basic premise is there's a family of meh emojis, and the child wants to be happy and joyful and express all of his emotions. He's only supposed to express meh, and he blows his big chance. This, again, is in the first 15 minutes, and they throw him out of the box on the phone. It's not funny. It has bright colors, so I guess if you have a two-year-old that you want to keep entertained, you know, it'll be distracting. But, yeah, it has all the emotional depth and content of emojis.
You could put it on the TV and change the soundtrack. You
know,
have your sound coming from somewhere else.
It's not good
to keep the two-year-old occupied.
I've seen worse movies, but yeah, the fact that the Saudis chose this as their headline film to relaunch the first public showings in movie theaters in 25 years, and they chose this. Oh my God! And Captain Underpants. Throw that in there too. But, well, of all the family-friendly movies they could have picked, and they chose this. Holy crap. That's awful.
Played by Patrick Stewart.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
That
please do not subject your children to the Emoji Movie. I mean, yeah, will it keep them entertained if they're, like I said, two or three? Probably. If they're a little older, maybe. But there are so many movies that actually have something to them for your kids for your kids to watch. So, yeah, it's a pretty awful movie. Do not watch it.
Let's move on to something that we've been talking about for months and is out now, not on Netflix. It's in a theater. Supposed to be a very good movie, supposed to be groundbreaking in several areas. And if the box office is any indication, I think it did. The Marvel's Black Panther movie started off with an opening day total of $75.8 million. That's really impressive. It's headed toward a $210 million four-day debut with the holiday. It's got an A-plus score from CinemaScore. Rotten Tomatoes has been kind of corrupted by people going, no, there's black people in it. Vote it down, vote it down. Shoot them if you find out who... I'm kidding. Kind of. Unfortunately, only one of us got to see it this weekend because, damn you, flu epidemic. So, Todd, how was the Black Panther movie?
I liked it a little bit. That's what I passed on to our friend of the show, Ted. And Ted got to see it this weekend, and he sent back when I asked him, how did you like it? He said, I liked it a little bit. I am very interested to hear what Ted has. Hopefully he will talk about it on his show tonight. I'm assuming he has his show, Late Night Parents, tonight. We'll find out. He is at church because he actually is a good person, unlike us. So Ted's at church right now.
I thought it was a Bernie Mac concert. I'm just going by the little picture he sent with the email.
It probably is, and he lied to me about going to church. How awful. Anyway, and also, friend of the show, Lee, he is doing things with a friend. So, again, how dare you do things with friends instead of being on our show? But back to Black Panther.
Black Panther's more important than that, damn it.
Back to Black Panther. I don't know if it's my favorite Marvel movie ever. I don't think it is. But the fact that it's kind of in that ballpark... It's better than most of the Marvel movies. And I like all the Marvel movies. I think the Marvel movie that most people would put on the bottom is Iron Man 2. I actually like that film quite a bit. This movie is great. It's got action, has intrigue. It's one of the reviews talked about how it's kind of Marvel's take on the James Bond espionage thriller, which it kind of is. I mean, there's a scene in the casino where they're meeting, where they're trying to track down some arms dealers. That definitely sounds like it's lifted out of a James Bond plot, right?
Yeah.
I was expecting this to be a little bit heavier, more message oriented, just because of the early talk about it. It is message oriented, definitely, but it still has the Marvel trademark humor. There's lots of humor in it. I mean, not like Thor Ragnarok, because let's face it, that's a buddy road movie.
Yeah,
cloaked in a superhero flick, but there's still the typical Marvel humor that lightens the moments. As always, everybody in it is freaking amazing. The cast is awesome. Chadwick Boseman is excellent. He kind of suffers a little bit from the problem that virtually every hero does, in that the hero has to react to what's going on with the villain. So the villain usually has the better role.
I can see that.
Michael B. Jordan is off the chain amazing in this movie, and he's always good. But he's the villain. He might be the most reprehensible, worst villain, as an evil villain, in any Marvel movie yet. And remember, we've had the Red Skull, okay?
Yeah. Wow.
He is a bad person, very bad. But because the script by Ryan Coogler, and I can't remember the co-writer, I apologize, we'll look it up before the end of the show. Because the script actually deals in, if this is still based somewhat in grounded in reality, he has reasons for his actions. And they make sense. So he has real motivation. So in some ways you can see, is he evil, or is he just acting on the world as he perceives it? And again, the old line is that the best villains are the heroes of their own story. absolutely works for this. And because it's Michael B. Jordan, he still manages to flash a little bit of that charm, even though he does terrible things in this film. He's awesome. He is absolutely awesome in this role. If this doesn't lock him in as a major star, I can't imagine what it's going to take, because he is absolutely incredible in this movie.
Could this be kind of an Oscar award winning type of role, the way Heath Ledger did Joker?
I think it should be. I think it should be. Seriously, because he is freaking great. You know, I mean, there are moments of empathy, and there are moments of warmth and charm. And yet he's not crazy like the Joker was. He is not at all crazy. And then in some ways, that's what makes him so bad, because he is absolutely 100% sane, and he's still doing bad, bad things, which makes him very interesting. Jordan's awesome. Again, Boseman is terrific. It's just that he didn't have the role that had the flash to it. There's a lot of depth to his role, but didn't have, you know, wasn't able to do those things. And I'm going to butcher her name, and I shouldn't, because she's one of the stars of The Walking Dead.
That's kind of why I'm glad that you're doing the review of this, because I looked at the cast name, and I have issues with names anyway, like Joe Robert Cole, who's the other writer. No, I don't have problems with that one.
Thank you, Joe Robert Cole.
Yeah, some of the names, script. I'm like, really like you in other things, but I cannot possibly pronounce your name.
Well, you can handle Letitia Wright. Danai Gurira, who is on The Walking Dead, that character is going to be written out, I think, at some point, because she needs to be on the big screen. She is awesome on The Walking Dead, but holy cow, man, you just cannot not watch her when she is on the screen. She's, you know how some actors are they're just magnetic. They've just got a presence. She's got it. She is incredible. She plays the general of Wakanda. If somehow you're not aware of the story, Black Panther is the king of this mythical country, which is a super technologically advanced country, because they are the entire world's source for vibranium. And if you don't know what vibranium is, why are you listening to us? So go away. No, don't go away. No, stay.
Stay here. Learn.
Stay and learn. Yes. Anyway, but she is the general of the forces. And one of the cool things the Black Panther does is, aside from holding up an African nation as the pinnacle of technology, which is pretty cool. And notice it's not African-Americans, because they're not African-American. They're Africans. They're Africans. So but women have at the least, an equal standing in their society.
If not more. I think it's more.
Yeah, the general of their guard is a woman. His personal guard, the king of Wakanda, his personal guard, they're all women. And extremely kick-ass warriors. Kind of like maybe Amazons. The high-tech genius... His sister, played by Letitia Wright, she actually has the best comic lines. She's not the only one, but so she's kind of comic relief, but she's also like Wakanda's version of Q, if this is, again, a Bond film. But she's more important than that as well. And Lupita Nyong'o, who is South African, she plays an ex-lover of the king, who is also involved in this, and she is a spy. So that's the triumvirate of the important women. Angela Bassett, who is amazingly kick-ass. I mean, she has like a very secondary role. She's mom. She's great. But I mean, when Angela Bassett is like the third most important female role in your movie, you have some awesome, awesome acting going on and awesome parts. The writing is terrific. The direction is terrific. Some of the action scenes, they're so high-paced and frenetic. You almost can't see what the hell is going on. And it's not that you can't see what's going on. It's not blurred or anything like that. It's not a technical problem. It's just so fast paced. It's like, holy crap. It makes sense, because that's how fast the fighting would be. There are several great action scenes. There are scenes of a lot of raw emotional depth. And given all that, the background, in case you can't tell by my voice, I am Caucasian. I am not of the persuasion that grew up in a country where Step and Fetch It was at one point the lead African-American actor of the time, a guy who only played roles of a subservient, basically fool. That's where Hollywood was at one point in this country. It was a revelation when Sidney Poitier broke out and got lead actor roles in the 50s and 60s. And he was basically by himself for decades. So Black
actors horrible because he was awesome. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's incredible. Black actors have been given short shrift, let alone black directors. Are you kidding me? A black director in Hollywood? That's really funny. That's why there was black cinema, because that's where Mario Van Peebles, he had to make his own work. Because no one would fund anything. So for Ryan Coogler to come along and get the gig, and thank you, Marvel, for trusting this guy. You should have. I mean, based on Fruitvale Station and Creed, and obviously you did the right thing. It's been said that Chadwick Boseman, there was no discussion, there was no interview process, there was no audition. Kevin Feige said that, okay, well, obviously Chadwick Boseman is the Black Panther. That was it. They said, he's it. We're done. The fact that there were only two characters of any importance that are white in this film. One is a secondary villain, one is a secondary hero. They're important, and they both do a really good job, but they didn't really need to be in the film.
Although there is a good joke about them.
Yeah, there is.
Because, you know, Martin Freeman and Andy Serkis, both from The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings movies, so those three, they're the Tolkien white guys.
Yes, which is love.
That turned out really nice, I think.
Which is lovely.
As a joke.
But the fact that this huge Hollywood success is helmed by a black gentleman, stars black men and black women working together. There are no subservient blacks. I can't imagine what that would mean to someone in the African-American culture. I mean, literally, I can't. I mean, I thought it was terrific. I thought it was awesome. But to come from the culture where, you know, if there's a black hero, he's a sidekick.
Yeah.
You know, and I love Falcon. You know, very cool character. We have talked before about, man, don't screw this up. When you move on from Steve Rogers as Captain America, Anthony Mackie better be pulling on the costume. He needs to be the new Captain America.
I mean, that's the way they did it in the books. I don't see any reason for them not to do that.
Exactly. I'm much more interested in that version of Captain America than the Sebastian Stan version of Captain America anyway. So
yeah, don't want that.
Hopefully they do it right. But regardless.
Although I did see an interesting thing, because they're talking about redoing all the cast after the fourth Avengers movie. And something they did in the books was Iron Man is no longer Tony Stark.
Right.
It is a young African-American woman.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are now saying that Letitia Wright
mm-hmm.
should take over that role.
And she would be awesome.
I think that would work.
It's really nice. And because the way the character is done, she's definitely a smartass. So you still have that aspect to the Iron Man persona of being the tech genius, but also being the resident version, the resident source of snark. So, as opposed to Stark. So that would totally work.
That'll do.
A seriously awesome movie. And like I said, we're talking about box office. You mentioned $210 million. There was an article that this has set box office records, all-time records, at 33 AMC film theaters. They didn't release which ones, but there was a story that one of them is in Atlanta, and they chose to have 84 screenings on Friday of Black Panther. So obviously they decided this is the Black Panther theater. So however many screens they have, if they have 12 or 14, whatever, I'm sure every screening was of the Black Panther.
And yeah, we were talking about this before the show, how
right.
That's the kind of movie that, any other movie that's not going to sell out, get it out of the theater. We're going to put Black Panther there, and people are going to come see it.
Exactly.
And they did.
Exactly. I had a long lunch this week on a Friday. I was lucky enough. Here's my shout out to Janice, our office manager, who gave me the extra hour for lunch so that I could go see Black Panther. So Janice, thank you very much. This review is sponsored by you. She asked me to do this, so I did this. And seriously, thanks. That was excellent. It is kind of weird to stop work, go see a movie like this, and then come back to work. It's like, it's hard to kind of get your mind right. But
I don't want to go back to work. I want to go back and see it again.
No, I want to fly a plane and put on a vibranium suit that absorbs energy, and then I can channel it however I choose. Which, again, the power set for Black Panther is again, different and very cool. And man, there's so much to like about this movie. This movie is just so cool. But, I mean, this is a cultural thing. Hopefully, this can be a cultural thing for the black community, and it seems like it might well be the way Wonder Woman has helped the status of women in this country. And it's like, yeah, and the white guys are going, yeah, whatever. It's like, you have no idea what the hell you're talking about if you think you're not coming from a source of white male privilege, because that's what this country is. It is the white male privilege country. And frankly, I think it's about time we all kind of share equally. That's kind of what we're supposed to do. So
something about that being in the Constitution.
So Black Panther it's a great movie, but hopefully this also is something of a cultural touchstone for people. And they realize, oh, you know what? Those countries over in Africa, they're not shitholes, as our president said. Yeah, Wakanda is a fictional country, but there were also many big tech hubs in various cities in Africa. So it's not like everyone is living in huts, Donald, you moron. So not sorry for the political bit, but that's probably why people need movies like Black Panther, because there are idiots out there who think things that they do. Meanwhile, in our lovely country, we have kids gunned down in schools, but you know, we're the first world nation, right? Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we'll resolve it, because we'll send out our thoughts and prayers. Anyway, Black Panther requires no thoughts and prayers. It just requires you to go see it, because it is an excellent, excellent movie. It's fun, it's awesome, has a great message, doesn't pound you over the head with it at all. It's there for you to see. If you miss it, okay, you shouldn't, but again, it's not a message movie, but it's there if you just look. It's a super entertaining movie, and I really can't recommend it enough.
I saw some stuff on this last night with an interview with Ryan Coogler about the casino scene.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of stuff that, because they released that parts of that scene before the movie. And I saw it and I thought, that looks really cool. I need to see this. But apparently there's stuff I missed or would not have known. Like some of the costumes that the women wore in this. And I'm sorry, I don't know the characters' names because I haven't seen it yet. Damn it. Anyway, their costumes were 3D printed.
Really?
Not have expected that.
How cool.
And then there's the colorization of the characters, because I know T'Challa is there wearing black.
Right.
Because Black Panther. The other two are wearing green and red, which are the colors of the United African flag. And I knew that. I just didn't put that together for this scene. apparently, the bad guy in the scene is Ulysses Claw, who's wearing blue, which represents colonization, which was not necessarily a good thing in Africa. That's not something I would have consciously picked up on. But that they would put in, he said there's lots of subconscious things they put like that through the movie, and That's cool that they put that much, that there's that much detail in it, I think.
There's so much to this movie. This is one of these movies that when you get it on digital or Blu-ray or however you get it, you're just going to be watching endlessly. I mean, it's just, God, this movie is just so awesome to watch, awesome to listen to. Didn't even talk about the soundtrack, which again, Kendrick Lamar, it sounds different from any other superhero movie you've seen. And again, this is not the first black superhero to be on screen. I mean, Wesley Snipes did this how many years ago?
Blade was forever ago.
20? So this is a long time ago, but this is at a completely different level. Completely different level.
Holy cow, Blade was 20 years ago.
That's what I was thinking. So
I knew it was coming up, but I didn't realize it. I really did not realize it was that far back.
Yeah. But man, this movie looks great. And as you were saying, it looks the way it looks for a reason. I mean, everything in this movie has a purpose. Again, just such a good movie. And for a large segment of the populace, by which I mean really any minority, women, because women have as prominent a role in this practically as in Wonder Woman. God, what a movie. A very, very cool movie. Absolutely need to see. And again, Danai Gurira is like, you're no longer on TV. I mean, God, I love you on The Walking Dead, but you belong on the big screen. Man, she's just like, she is a freaking superstar.
So is this better than, let's say, some of the Star Wars movies?
Are you kidding me? Is it better than some of the Star Wars movies?
That's as close to a segue as I can get to the next story. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot better than almost all of the Star Wars movies. So anyway.
But you see, the Star Wars story I have this week involves royalty.
I like it.
Ah, see, there we go. One of the things that came out before The Last Jedi was the story. I guess it's a sub thing where they have famous people playing stormtroopers, but you can't tell because they're wearing the armor. Huh? So what's the point in saying, hey, look, that's somebody famous in that armor? Well, I can't tell. He's wearing the armor. Anyway, there was a scene with John Boyega, who is supposed to be in the movie, being escorted by Prince William, Prince Harry, and Tom Hardy, all in stormtrooper armor. And this scene was cut because of height issues, which this is going to go backwards from the aren't you a little short to be a stormtrooper thing, because Prince William is 6'3", Prince Harry is 6'1", Boyega and Tom Hardy, and I did not realize this, are both 5'9".
Really?
So, bit of a height discrepancy between William and Hardy.
Interesting.
And they said that, you know, they filmed it and everything, and then they looked at it and went, those guys are a bit, you know, the height thing is a bit weird because the stormtroopers are all supposed to be uniform. And these mm-hmm. are most definitely not.
Exactly.
Although, and this is sad news that I found just before the show. There's, going back to the original Star Wars, British actor Michael Leader, who is actually popular on the show EastEnders, but I've never watched that because it's a BBC soap opera. He was in the original Star Wars. He was the stormtrooper that clunked his head walking through a door.
All right.
If you've ever seen...
I recall the scene, actually.
The stormtroopers come in and find R2 and 3PO in the control room doing stuff. And there's one stormtrooper on the right side of the screen who tries to walk under the door that just raised. And there's a sound effect that I thought was just, you know, random sound effect. No, it's him bonking his head on the door.
And now you're going to tell me the part that makes me not laugh.
Yeah, he died this week.
Yeah.
Which is sad, but the headline, I thought, stormtrooper who bonked his head in the original Star Wars movie has died.
God, he must have hit it really hard, didn't he?
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not realize he was that popular.
I wonder if they checked him for CTE. To clean up after my mocking death twice now, I'm going to jump back just briefly to Black Panther. You were talking about costume design. Anthony yes. Francisco, one of the senior visual development people, he was apparently, I don't know if he's in charge of illustration, but he did a lot of the work on the costumes for the Dora Milaje and Okoye, who is the general. Again, that's the one played by Danai Gurira. He actually painted her into the character before she was cast.
Ooh.
Interesting, because he's such a big fan of her work on The Walking Dead. It's interesting that the costume design thought, you know who'd be great in this role? I was like, you were right, dude. Totally great. Anyway. I'm just watching this brief little GIF, and it makes me want to go see the movie. GIF, GIF, whatever.
GIF.
It's a GIF. It's peanut butter. It's smooth and it's tasty. Therefore, it's
graphic
GIF.
Interface format.
It's still a GIF. Anyway,
no,
I know
no.
It's GIF. Like
God, you're gonna give me
because
a
it's
stroke.
It's a gift to mankind. Therefore, it's a GIF. God, yeah. I may go see this movie again this afternoon. I mean, it is. God, it's a very, very cool movie. Very cool movie. Anyway, back to the show.
So, Tom Hardy, right? Back to him, 5'9", which is considerably shorter than the 6'4" that Hugh Jackman is.
Yes.
So Tom Hardy as Wolverine in the recasting, question mark. That's been brought up this week once people realized, wait, he's short-ish.
And wide-ish.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's definitely built much more like
genetics,
Wolverine.
Genetics, because he didn't grow any taller.
he's definitely.
Oh, you mean casting?
He's definitely built more like Wolverine than Mr. Jackman got jacked, no pun intended. But Tom Hardy can get like. Remember how he looked in as Bane? Yeah, Tom Hardy can get like seriously jacked, and again, Jackman is excellent as Wolverine, but if someone could step into the role and not screw it up and not make people think, damn, where's Hugh Jackman? It'd be Tom Hardy, because he could be a little intense if people have seen Revenant or really anything Tom Hardy has been in. Yeah. But yeah, I'm pretty sure Tom Hardy could pull off Wolverine in his sleep. I would love to see that. I would absolutely freaking love to see Tom Hardy as Wolverine.
There we go, then.
Or if you need someone who can't really act that well, Vinnie Jones. He would be a fun Wolverine, too.
No. He was a hideous juggernaut.
I knew you would think of Juggernaut immediately. That's why I gave you Vinnie Jones. Anyway.
He was okay on Elementary as a hired hitman. He was horrible as one of my favorite X characters, Juggernaut. No.
Vinnie Jones is one of the 20 best X footballers that is an actor right now in the world. And
soccer players, by the way.
And since
those of us who live in the States.
And since I only know of one, Vinnie Jones. Yeah. Don't be busting.
He's the best by default.
Yeah, he is. But yeah, Tom Hardy would be freaking awesome. That actually would make me want to go see a relaunched, a revamped, a rebooted Wolverine movie.
Well, they're relaunching another character.
Let me guess, Robert Pattinson Magneto.
As Kitty Pryde. No. although that is the movie they're coming out with. Michael Bendis.
That was a spit take right there. Oh, yeah? Oh, really?
Brian Michael Bendis.
That's good.
Too many names. Who's actually a comic author.
Indeed he is.
So that's a good thing. Supposedly teaming with Tim Miller, director of Deadpool, doing what they're calling Codename 143. No, it's a Kitty Pryde movie. Which, for those of you who don't remember Kitty Pryde in the movies and never read the books, she's the one who walks through walls and apparently somehow sends people through time. Because those go together in a crowbar must wedge this into the plot somewhere decision.
When did that start?
In the Days of Future Past movie.
Oh, gross. That's right. Never mind.
Where someone at 3 a.m. said, we need to figure out how to send them back through time. Kitty can do it. We'll write it in. get me a crowbar and some Astroglide. We'll be able to fit this into the plot somewhere. And no, it doesn't. So, like I said, Kitty has never really been one of my favorite characters. But, yeah, it'd be nice if they did it right this time.
but a movie, a Kitty Pryde movie, seriously?
She's never had, that I recall, she has never had her own comic series, mini series.
Right.
There was, Kitty Pryde and Wolverine as a series, and she's had solo books, but not.
There are a lot of X-Men characters that I can see doing a solo movie of, or more wisely, a team up of, instead of Kitty Pryde. That's kind of odd.
Do the Havoc Wolverine miniseries.
There you go. That almost seems like they just had a big bullseye with like 50 X-Men characters and they threw a dart and it's like, Kitty Pryde, that's our next movie. It's just so random.
It really is.
Unless they do it as a young adult style thing. Which is still random and sucky.
That's what the New Mutants movie is supposed to be about.
Yeah, exactly. Which... also random and sucky.
We'll find out about that.
Yeah, we will. But it's like they have
holding out very minor hope. It's an X-Men movie. I have very little hope for the whole series.
I was just about to say, as you have said, probably almost every week, and deservedly so, has there ever been better material that has been more poorly used repeatedly than the X-Men franchise? I mean, all these characters with just tons of depth, tons of material to go into. And what do they have to show for it? X-Men 2 and Logan. I mean, to me, that's what they've gotten out of it. Out of all of this.
I'll give it the first half of X2.
Yeah, and I know why. You know, it's just... and Logan, to me, they absolutely screwed up the opportunity. They could have had one of the best movies of the year. I mean, like, not comic book movies. They could have had a great movie. And instead, they had a really good movie. And it's nice that you put out a really good movie. But when you've got the material to make a great movie, and you're too stupid to use it, which they have done over and over and over with the X-Men, I just don't get it. It's like Warner Brothers is running that division of Fox. It's like, oh, we got great source material. Ah, let's ignore it. Let's write our own stupid plot. Because we know what better than, like, decades of comic history.
That sounds like a segue into the DC movie news of the week.
Woohoo!
Of which there is none. It's all TV news. If you're not watching Legends of Tomorrow, but are a fan of the Constantine series, you missed a really good show this past week.
I did. I did.
Constantine is now kind of part of the Legends of Tomorrow show. He was in this past week's show, which was probably the best show that this series has had.
Really?
Basically because it's a Constantine show with a Legends guest starring.
Oh, nice.
If you get the opportunity to go back and watch it, do so. It was really good. He'll be back on the 19th of March for another episode and again in the season finale.
Same actor?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. I like
Absolutely.
That. Absolutely. That's smart. Very smart.
There's a lot of people who watched the series, which for some reason was on NBC.
Right. Which was the worst possible decision. Well, it could have been on the Christian Broadcasting Network. That would have been worse. But yeah, I did not understand.
The Fishing Network.
Yeah, I didn't understand putting Constantine on NBC.
That has never fit anything NBC has ever done that I know of.
Constantine should have been on FX, AMC.
He's from a book called Hellblazer.
That
fits.
Should have been on Netflix as an original series. I mean, lots of places it should have been other than NBC. So
absolutely. So there are a lot of people who said, keep the series going, and they didn't.
Right.
And there's still a put, even though this show went off the air, 4 or 5 years ago now?
I think so.
There are a lot of people who still are like, bring it back on the CW. You're doing how many other shows? Bring this back.
Right.
And I think the way that they did this last Legends episode, because it was Constantine guest starring everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be them testing the waters to see if it's feasible to bring it back.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great.
I would love that.
Yeah.
It would be awesome.
Keep the actor, but keep the showrunners. Or at least bring in people with the same sensibility, because I really enjoyed Constantine. I really like that show.
Now, there's also the DC streaming service that's coming soon. And you know what? If you want to put it there, there's a way to get me to buy it.
Yeah.
To go along with Young Justice Season 3, which is long overdue. That's one of my shows, top shows, that was canceled before it actually ended. They ended that series, which is, in my mind, probably the best DC animated series, and I'm including Batman the Animated Series.
Wow.
It really is that good a show. And they ended it by going, look, it's Darkseid, for the last 7 seconds. Of the last episode, and you kind of go, wait, no, you can't put the big bad right there, and then, oh, we're done.
We're done forever. I have a question for you, and I'm sure you know the answer, which is why I'm asking you, because I wouldn't ask you if I didn't think you had the answer. Anyway, the DC streaming services, I'm assuming that they will include things like the original Batman animated series, Justice League Unlimited, all those, are they going to be on there as far as you know? Or is there?
They have not announced what's going to be on there.
I didn't think so, but I knew if anyone knew, it would be you. So,
yeah, apart from Young Justice and the live action Titans series.
Yeah, that's not enough for streaming service.
Yeah, two shows. No.
So, and hopefully
they did announce that a guy named Bruno Bashir, I might be mispronouncing that, he's been cast as Dr. Niles Calder, or the Chief, in the Doom Patrol series. He's been cast in the Titan series, kind of implying that Doom Patrol will show up at some point.
That would be nice. As in a live action series? Oh, that would be cool. Doom Patrol is very underrated. Very underrated.
It is. It's a very weird group.
It is. That would be awesome. See, for Doom Patrol, I might kick in. Okay, I can kick in $6 a month for the DC streaming service. Although, as we have complained, or I complained at least, probably God, maybe,
but I agreed.
Maybe 2 years ago, that is like, I really don't want to get to the point where there are like 17 different streaming services that I have to have. This sucks. Boy, talk about having to cut the cord on cable. My entertainment monthly bill will be $500 at that point. It's like, can't really do that.
No,
I can't. Anyway. Doom Patrol.
Sticking with superheroes and kind of a remake, kind of remaking stuff, I guess. I don't know. We haven't done that part yet.
Has there ever been a superhero with sticky powers, like Mucilage Man, perhaps, or...
There has been, but I cannot come up with a name at the moment.
It needs to be Mucilage Man. Or Mucilage Maid. She could be part of the Legion of Superheroes from the 20,000. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Mucilage Maid.
Ugh. Hannah Simone is not playing Mucilage Maid. She is playing the lead in the remake of The Greatest American Hero.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I am not familiar with the show New Girl. Or Fresh Off the Boat. So I have no idea who she is. Do you have it? I've got a picture of her, and she doesn't look like William Catt.
No, she does not. She looks like the she looks like the anti-William Catt, which is okay. William Catt was cool, yeah. But I really like the casting. I have not seen New Girl. I'm familiar with the show. I've not seen Fresh Off the Boat. I saw the trailer, some clips for it, and it looked intensely stupid, like a lot of current network comedy, so I'm not going to watch it. But I'm not going to have to watch some of New Girl, which I've heard is actually pretty good. And I think that has... the singer, actress... anyway, it'll come to me later. But anyway, so I'll have to watch some of New Girl just to see Ms. Simone, to see how good she is. Because hopefully she can act, because that would be nice. And of course, it's a comedy, so the fact that she's in two comedies has a pretty good... portent for the future. Just in general, without knowing the quality of her work, I think that's very cool. I like the fact that they're switching it up, for the female hero instead of the male hero. I mean, why not? I mean, I think we have plenty of white male heroes still, so yeah. That's cool. I loved that show when it was first on. It was goofy, but still had but William Catt played it kind of straight, but not really. And I don't mean as in his sexuality, so don't even think about that. But William Catt was another underrated actor. He was very, very good in that role. And so I'm hoping that she can carry on that attitude where, you know, they take the work seriously, but I mean, as far as the work within the context of the show, oh, we've got to save the world and we've got 60 seconds or however long he had. Or an hour. I think it was an hour. There was a show where the guy had powers for 60 seconds, which was a really goofy comedy. I'm excited about Greatest American Hero. I hope they have the same theme song. The theme song was awesome. It'll be cool. It'll be very, very cool. Connie Selica won't be in it, though, I'm guessing. And that's a crime. That's a crime against humanity, personally.
Although, maybe Connie Selica could be in it as the Robert Culp role.
Wouldn't that be cool? That would be awesome. See, that's the thing.
There's an idea. Hey, guys.
Robert Culp.
You know.
Also, very underrated. Robert Culp was fun to watch. And he was very fun. Who should play the Robert Culp? If Connie Selica doesn't do it, and that would be cool. God, that would be great. Who could be the Robert Culp thing? Oh, Tommy Lee Jones won't do it. But Tommy Lee Jones would be great. I would love to see him play that role. Or go back in time and, you know, here you go. Get Kitty Pryde to go back in time, pick up Robert Culp, and bring him to now, and Robert Culp can do it again. That would make me happy. Robert Culp had a weird quality to him that it's really hard to pull off. A lot of and not many actors can do that. You know, kind of the the charming, sardonic, smartass that you still like. That's not easy to pull off, actually. And he did it effortlessly in like virtually everything. He was great.
Will agree. Other female superhero news, kind of. The Incredibles sequel trailer.
Yes.
Came out.
Yes.
The second. Have you watched it?
Because the second one. I've not watched the second one yet. I understand you have a particular viewpoint about the second.
I don't like it.
Why you don't like?
What we find out in this trailer is Frozone comes up to the Incredibles family and says, "There's this billionaire guy who wants superheroes to come back." And he doesn't grab Mr. Incredible or either of the kids. He grabs Elastigirl, gives her a new costume, and Elastigirl gets to go off and do her own adventure stuff. She has a motorcycle, which my daughter didn't like. Not sure why.
They're not safe.
Well, she's made of rubber.
You're made of rubber. Yeah, that's pretty much pretty safe.
When she falls and goes splat, she actually pulls herself back together. She'll be fine.
Exactly.
So Frozone and Elastigirl go off and do this. And it turns into it's not a movie where we go watch them do the superhero stuff. We get to stay at home and watch Mr. Incredible try to raise the kids.
Well,
it turns into a babysitting movie. And that's,
I'm hopeful that that's going to be like the first act of the film. And it lasts like 15, 20 minutes.
10. Nope. They showed everything that could be funny in the trailer.
That would be good. Yeah, I don't need them to turn The Incredibles 2 into Mr. Mom. Mr. Mom is a fun movie, but The Incredibles 2 needs to be more than that. And I would imagine it would be. I'm hopeful that that would just be a blip in this film. Yeah, that needs to be. And I have faith that it will be. I imagine they just like. Because it's early, this is not a full trailer yet. This is not the final trailer, so they're saving.
Although it is coming out in what, June or July?
They're saving the good stuff for Memorial Day weekend. The trailer, I mean. So I hope
it better be better than what you showed me before.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm not happy.
Yeah, the first teaser, I was extremely underwhelmed. Is like, really, this is what you got? So.
It was a lot cuter than what they showed later.
But you know what? It's still Brad Bird. I got faith in Brad Bird. A lot of faith in Brad Bird. So I'm still thinking this is going to be an awesome movie.
Let's see. Other movies that have potential to be awesome. On February 19th, Netflix is getting the live-action Japanese version of Full Metal Alchemist.
Tomorrow, by the way.
That is tomorrow, isn't it?
It is.
I haven't looked at a date yet. Ooh, look, it's tomorrow.
Oh, that's my birthday present for my daughter. Happy birthday, Full Metal Alchemist. There you go.
Full Metal Alchemist.
Indeed.
I'm not terribly familiar with the anime that this comes from, but it looked good. Get my daughter to watch it because she's more familiar with it. And I'll get her on the show next week to give a
awesome
review. She won't do it.
She won't do it. Tease. You're such a tease.
I am. Instead, though, speaking of subtitles, see, Lee should be here.
He should be for here. This
because he loves foreign movies. And I may start a new segment. I watched a foreign movie this week.
And I lived.
Well, no, it was a movie that was recommended to me by Bill from The Witching Hour. He watched it and said this was really good, and it was, but it was very, very weird. It was a movie called Chronicles of the Ghostly Tribe, which was a Chinese movie and subtitled. I don't think there is an English soundtrack for this. And what I'm going to say about this movie is, wow. I spent most of the movie wondering what the hell is going on. It starts in 1979 with a Chinese army helping an archaeological dig that finds two car-sized dinosaur heads.
Ooh, I like it already.
and behind them is a cavern, and in the cavern there's some bats that inexplicably are red until they change to the color blue, and when they land on you, you are incinerated instantly.
I like it even more.
Good.
How to be incinerated.
On the other side of the cavern is a lot of mountains with a lot of snow and a dinosaur that we never come back to.
No, I don't like that.
They just, you know, doing one of those flying over the mountains things, and is that a dinosaur over there? And it looks at the screen and goes, roar, and we never really come back to it. But the army is moving through, and then there's an avalanche, which should have killed everyone, but it didn't kill our main character, a nurse.
The
nurse's dad, who is the professor of the whole trip, who is the only one who knows what's going on, and George from Ong Bak.
Really? All right.
Okay. Then they find another cave in which they find the demon's pagoda or bagoda. It's a building. And the only people who can enter it are our main character and the nurse.
It's their love shack.
I don't know. But they're not allowed to, they don't actually make it all the way inside because you had to light a candle before they can go in. But George thinks it's a bad idea and he puts out the candle and like 8 fire bats land on him and incinerate him. Okay.
Ouch.
Now, see, none of this is really spoilers because it takes place in the first 20 to 30 minutes of the movie.
Nice.
After that, it gets weird. I mean, it's worth watching because there are explanations for almost everything. Eventually, except the close-up of the dinosaur. I still didn't get that part. It's a 2-hour movie. It's subtitled. There are elements of Stargate and Doctor Strange and Underworld. There is a guy who may or may not be a good guy. He's the only non-Chinese guy in the film, and he looks like Jason Marsden and Cillian Murphy had a kid. Very weird. There's a
weird,
fat Elvis impersonator at a karaoke bar. There's a Chinese woman named Shirley.
Shirley is good. And stop.
I don't know why.
Stop calling
so what's
Shirley.
Not to like? It's on Netflix. Give it a watch, because if you've got Netflix, it'll be free-ish. But IMDb, I did notice, screwed up the credits a bit.
Did they?
Because Jin Chen played Shirley and not Shirley's mother.
That's kind of a bad error. That's racist of them.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't know. They didn't recognize the actor.
But it was very weird. It had good effects to it, not all of which made sense to me.
It's got dinosaurs. That's a good movie.
It does have dinosaurs that immortal dinosaurs, because they killed them like 8 or 9 times a piece, and they just keep getting back up.
That's awesome. God, I want to watch this movie.
See, it'll
Chronicles,
after you get back from Black Panther.
Chronicles of the Ghostly Tribe.
Yes, Chronicles of the Ghostly Tribe. Starring people whose name, apart from Jin Chen, starring people whose names I just can't pronounce.
Well, I can't wait to see Shirley.
Shirley turns out to be, she may or may not be the nurse.
Interesting.
There's a plot twist in there somewhere. This movie, the story takes place over several years, so there are gaps of, you know, we started in 1979, now it's 1982, now it's 1985. Not that anyone seems to have actually learned anything between any of these gaps.
No, of course not.
You know, so you could have just said tomorrow. But
yeah, could have.
And I'm still not really sure why there's an Elvis impersonator at the karaoke bar, but... Anyway, not a movie that's going to be recreated anytime soon, because there was a budget to it.
Was there?
But a movie that will be recreated soon. See? Segue.
Nice!
They're making Willy Wonka again. Only this time, Paddington director Paul King is going to be doing it.
Now, I saw that in your pre-show notes, which, by the way, nobody listening probably cares, but I care. Rob does an amazing job doing the prep work, so we have an idea what the hell we're going to talk about, other than, oh, I saw a movie, it was cool, or it sucked. So when I saw the fact that the director of Paddington and Paddington 2 is doing Willy Wonka, because at first, you know, there had been talk about a Willy Wonka reboot, because like we didn't all suffer through Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, what an unmitigated freaking disaster that was.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we don't need another Willy Wonka movie. Just let us watch the original, which is awesome. This has a lot of promise based on, I mean, Lee gave us glowing reviews, fantastic reviews, ecstatic reviews. absolutely loved Paddington and Paddington 2. And Lee has, he has some good critical functions working in his head. Usually if he says a movie is good, it's really good. So based on that recommendation and the fact that what's Paddington 2 got on Rotten Tomatoes, like a 100 or a 98 or something ridiculous. And the user score is off the charts. It was 100
for a long time. I can look that up.
Basically, everybody loves Paddington 2. So this sounds great. I don't have a problem with remaking even great movies if you can give it your own spin. You know, there's no point in remaking.
It is still at 100%.
Wow. There's no, like Psycho. Gus Van Sant remade Psycho shot for shot. Because Gus Van Sant's a great director, but what's the point of doing that? I mean,
that makes very little sense.
That was a sad, lifeless exercise. I mean, that was kind of like, okay, I can remake it with lesser actors in virtually every case. And it just didn't work. It just did not work. But this definitely has potential. This is exciting news. And usually remake news is, oh my God, you know, where's the Alka-Seltzer? This is cool. This is really cool. I like this news.
Speaking of things that don't entirely make sense, kind of.
Ooh, Talking Heads.
That too. What's left of 20th Century Fox movie lineup, which is Talking Heads. They shuffled the rest of their lineup in a very bizarre kind of way.
Was it the Hollywood Shuffle?
I'm sorry, what?
Was it the Hollywood Shuffle? Also an excellent movie, by the way.
It could have been. Things like, let's say, Predator and Darkest Minds switched. So Predator is now coming out on August 3rd, Darkest Minds on September 14th. Why? No idea. They're done with both movies, so it's not like they've got anything else to do other than let's switch them. And there were like 15 movies listed that got new dates. So if you're looking forward to a 20th Century Fox film, check the date. It's probably been changed. And the one that made no sense. James Cameron's Alita Battle Angel, the one with the freaky weird eyes.
Right.
Is now moving to December 21st this year.
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
The reason that's really weird is because that date already has the Aquaman movie, the Transformers Bumblebee spinoff, and the Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly version of Watson and Holmes. Or Holmes and Watson, either way. That's already a bit crowded for a weekend.
That's really crowded.
Guess which movie's going to come in fourth? Freaky Eye Girl? Yeah, probably.
Why would you deliberately sabotage?
And that's a movie that a lot of people who know the storyline, I am not one of them, have been saying this needs to be a movie. It needs to be a movie, and it's finally coming out, and you're screwing it like that?
Although studios frequently deliberately sabotage films. I mean, they release them years after they're ready. They release them with virtually no promotion. Like Proud Mary got no promotion whatsoever. They just pretty much dumped it into the theaters. You know, it's just like, hey, well, we don't think this is going to work. So basically we're dumping it. We're not going to hype it because a lot of times half the cost is the promotion. So that sounds like what they're doing with this.
Well, this movie cost a ton of money anyway.
So they're doing what they can. They're just, okay, we're not cutting their losses. We're not going to spend another $100 million hype in this movie. So what it sounds like, we'll just put it out at the holidays and it's like, eh, people find it. That's kind of bizarre.
Well, speaking of the Transformers movie, kind of, Michael Bay's birthday was yesterday, and he has a present for all of us. Actually, that's not true. Hasbro has the present for all of us,
yes, because
Hasbro, the makers of the actual Transformers, signed a new big deal with Paramount, and they are rebooting the Transformers movies without Michael Bay.
That is quite a gift.
So, you know, bonus points. They looked at the last Transformers movie, The Last Night, And I mean, yeah, it pulled in $605 million and was nominated for every possible Razzie. It's just the special effects that people are going to see. And that's a screensaver. That's not a movie. I think.
I agree.
And so see, we're ending the show on good news.
We like good news.
Yeah. Although I have two other little things to end the show with, unless you've got something. Do you have anything else to add to this week's show?
Go see Black Panther. It's awesome.
Well, yeah. We spent half the show saying that. Go see Black Panther, damn it. All right.
Well, now we spent 51% of the show saying that.
There we go. See? It's a majority now. Anyway. weird TV news comes from the BBC this week. Because you remember Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yes, sadly I do.
Well, it was big in the States. It was even bigger in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just went off the air like 4 years ago there. I mean, it's been off the air here, what, a decade?
At least, thankfully.
It was just 4 years ago they ended it there. And they're bringing it back. But this time with a new host.
Ooh. Zombie Howard Cosell. He would be awesome.
You're not that far off. Jeremy Clarkson is going to be hosting Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Really? Really?
He of Top Gear and Grand Tour fame.
Yeah.
This is the guy who was fired from the BBC for punching a director in the face. This ought to be interesting.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Other thing I'm to leave you with is a movie quote of the week. Ooh. I'm going to try to do that now.
We like movie quotes.
Best quote. And as far as I'm concerned, this week's quote comes from Bill Maher, who said of the movie The Shape of Water, the movie is about a cleaning woman at a secret government lab who takes the creature from the Black Lagoon home and bangs it in the bathtub. If that's not workplace sex, then it's certainly stealing office supplies. You know what? That's a great quote. I think that's a great place to end the show.
It's a perfect synopsis, Mr. Maher. That's exactly what the movie is.
Absolutely. So if you enjoyed the show, subscribe to the show on iTunes or the Google Play Store or YouTube or wherever. Check out our website, cinemasavants.com. And we'll be back next week, possibly with more people. Who knows?
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.